and welcome to the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and we're opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. Roger, it is Friday, and we are in part three of an important series, a series that we've gotten encouraging feedback from our own shepherds here at Charlestown Road, but a series that we hope is encouraging to Christians all over, but especially to shepherds of the Lord's flock. We're talking about on Fridays in July, shepherding during a crisis. And so Friday number one in July, we just talked about that idea and the importance of focusing in on the Lord, remaining calm in a world right now that isn't exactly calm, being willing to make some tough calls and helping those who are scared. Last Friday, we talked about that wisdom from Proverbs, know well the condition of your flock. And today we want to talk about the steps of a shepherd.
You know, we're going to be looking in Psalms 23 here in just a moment. We all know that passage. It's the most known and quoted passage in the book of Psalms. But it's interesting when you just take a step back and look at this, the totality of the scriptures. God has never left his people alone. I mean, there was Moses, there was Joshua, there were judges, there were kings, there's apostles. In the New Testament church today, there are elders or there are shepherds. God has always put people before his people to lead them and to guide them and to warn them and to help them. And that's what we're looking at today. The idea of a New Testament shepherd, the idea of one who leads God's people, it's not about keeping the books straight. It's not about making sure the bills are paid or the wall is painted up to date. It's about people. It's about helping the people of God. And so today we turn to the steps of a shepherd. And what better place than to look at the best shepherd, and that's God. So we're going to look at Psalms 23, and then we're going to transition to the book of John, chapter 10, where Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. Let's read Psalms 23, and let's pull out some things from the text, and then we'll talk about the steps of a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, several things that jump out. First of all, one of the things that we see here is the personal relationship or the personal nature of this passage. The Lord is my shepherd. Indeed, at this time, we could say God is the God of heaven and earth. He was the God of Israel, the national God. But this is on a personal level. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. All through this, we see this personal relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And we're going to pull this out a little bit more when we get to John chapter 10. But that's where it begins. We're looking at that a leader who knows the people and the people who trust the leader, that there's a relationship there and there's a love and a bond that's found there.
A leader that is doing the leading, right? Not a figurehead, not just a name on the side of a bulletin that, you know, you can call if you've got some sort of a complaint. But you look at those verbs throughout. This is someone who makes, someone who leads, someone who restores, who guides, who comforts, who prepares. This is personal, as you have brought up, but this is someone who is engaged, out front, setting the tone, setting the pace, leading God's people where they need to go.
This sheep here, he would not be one who would say, I wonder what the shepherd's doing. You know, I never hear from our shepherds. I don't know what they're doing. Not in this passage. In this passage, he sees them. The shepherd is actively involved. He's engaged with this sheep, and that comes out of that. We also see before this, just inherent in this passage, is a knowledge of the shepherd. He leads me beside green pastures. Now, imagine you're back in ancient Israel, and you're a shepherd, and you got all these sheep following you. I mean, you go over here, this hill, and oh, it's a dry pasture. It's just no good. Well, you lead them over here, and oh, no, here's nothing else that's good. Pretty soon, your sheep falling down because they just got too tired and they died. Here's somebody who knew where he was. He knew where green pastures were. He knew where quiet waters were. He knew what the sheep needed, and he knew how to take care of it. And so inherent in this is a knowledge, a spiritual knowledge that this shepherd understood his sheep and he understood what they needed. Again today, that's what we need to see in God's church today. We need men who are leading God's people, who understand these people, who understand what they need and how to get them to where they should be.
To your point, ancient or even modern Israel, not every pasture is green, right? Not all waters are still or pure, and we see all around us, I mean, just constant noise, conflicting voices, all sorts of confusion that can even very subtly and quickly seep into the thinking of disciples of Jesus. Shepherds need to know, number one, where the green pastures and still waters are. And the sheep need to be hearing from the shepherds consistently, calmly, leading them away from the chaos and the confusion and darkness of the world to pastures and waters that are better.
Now, there's an interesting little transition in this passage, Psalms 23, that sometimes we overlook. The first three verses, the psalmist is talking about God. The Lord is my shepherd. That's a statement. That's a fact. And he makes me lie down green pastures. This is what God does. He's just stating facts about God. But when you get to verse 4, there's a transition. Starting in verse 4, it becomes a prayer. He no longer talks about God. He starts talking to God. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And so what we see here is this reaching for God. And so he was never alone. He was never left there. Even in tough places like the valley of the shadow of death, that the Lord was with him. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. This is not a shepherd in ancient Israel said, now you all go through this canyon here, I'll meet you on the other side. He led them through that. And what helped them? It was the shepherd's rod. It was a shepherd's staff that comforted them. And so again, we see even in tough times, in a crisis, the shepherd is there. He's calming the sheep. He's setting before them the principles that will help them.
I would say especially in times of crisis, right? This is what is needed. And maybe there is a sheep that has fallen asleep that needs a knock on the head from that rod, right? Or a sheep that is beginning to stray and that shepherd's crook kind of wraps around that sheep's neck and leads them back. You and I both know, as well as just about anybody who has spent any amount of time in churches over the years, if someone just unplugs for an entire season, or, you know, now in the middle of this present distress that started in the middle of March, we're stretching into multiple seasons. If a disciple of Jesus just unplugs, well, you know, things aren't normal right now. Worship services maybe are suspended or they're not the way that I'm used to. So I'm just going to unplug and I'm just going to do my own thing. And you do that for week upon week upon week. It's not going to take long for that sheep to get weak. And if there are not shepherds paying attention, those sheep can get lost real quick.
So now we transition to John chapter 10, where we find a description of Jesus. the relationship of Jesus to his disciples. Here the Bible used the expression, the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Jesus refers to himself. And so he says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs over some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes out ahead of them. The sheep follow because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but they will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Then just jumping down here just a little bit more, Jesus would say in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is one who the owner of the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them away. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Now, we'll notice in this that there are three or four negative groups of people Jesus talks about here. He talks about the stranger, and the sheep won't follow the stranger because they do not recognize his voice. He talks about the hireling or the hired hand, and he's only looking out for himself. When tough times comes, he's gone. He's going to save his neck. He doesn't care about the sheep. He doesn't care about the church. He's only worried about himself. And so he's not going to be around. He's not going to stay with it in tough times. Then in verse 10, he talks about the thief. The thief, I believe, is Satan. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So within these verses, Jesus, again, is showing us the relationship of the shepherd to the sheep. We see here there's a knowledge. There's an understanding of the voice. There's an understanding of character. There's a trust among them. And we see the relationship of following and believing in the good shepherd.
You know, I think it's easy to lose sight of how empathetic a good shepherd has to be. I think last Friday we touched on it a little, but even in listening to you talk about, the hireling, it would be easy for a hired man to feel like, well, I've got a job to do. As long as I'm doing that job and life is good for me, it must be good for everybody. And it's easy, I think, for some of us, even in the summer of 2020, to slip into that frame of mind. I was talking with my youngest daughter a little about that just a couple of nights ago. She was asking some questions about the openings of schools and, why there was so much debate and so many different accommodations trying to be made. And I just tried to get her to think that, well, our family, by God's grace and the help of others, we are very, very, very fortunate. We've got a little bit of flexibility, but not every family in our community, in our nation, in the world has that flexibility. Not every family is blessed the way that many of us are. There are struggles that some have that I cannot understand because I've not personally experienced them. And I think that principle trickles all the way up to shepherds in a local church. Maybe the last couple of months have been relatively stable in that man's life, in that man's marriage, in that man's, everyday environment. But the good shepherd is not just a hired hand. That good shepherd does his best to look through the eyes of all of the sheep under his care.
And what John 10 reminds us of is that there are always elements that's trying to hurt God's people. There's a wolf that's coming. There's a thief that's coming. Now, the hired hand, he's gone. He's gone because he's only going to take care of his own skin. But the shepherd's going to stay there. He will defend that sheep, and he will put himself in harm's way to drive off the wolf or to overcome that thief because he's there because he has the heart. He loves these people, and he wants to help them do what's right. In verse 10, when it talks about the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy, we have to realize that's that's what Satan's after. Whether it's our congregations, whether it's our marriages, or us personally, he'll use people, he'll break the rules, he'll do anything he can to disrupt, to get us off focus, to get us against each other, rather than following the shepherd and the voice of God.
And to your point earlier, it made me think of Luke chapter 15, that maybe there are 99 still pointed right in the direction that they ought to be, and one that is lost. But that good shepherd doesn't say, well, you know, we've come through the dark valley and there's still 99 of you behind me. That's pretty good. No, his heart continues to search after the one even that is lost.
And what does he do in Luke 15 when he finds that one sheep? He doesn't get a stick and beat it all the way home. He doesn't say, I'm going to teach you a lesson. You're never going to run again. The text says he picks it up and puts it around his neck.
Yeah.
He carries it home gingerly and carefully and lovingly and tenderly. That's the mark of a shepherd. And so when we think about the crisis that we're in, how important it is to realize that not everybody's just the same place I am. Not everybody's the same place health-wise. Not everybody's in the same place, whether it's fear or worry as I am, spiritually where I am. So I need to know the condition of my flock, what we talked about last time. But then from that, I need to have the footprints. I need to have the voice that they will follow me and trust me because of I know where we should go.
There's one other passage that sticks out in my mind. You know, it, as you mentioned, we're all familiar with Psalm 23. And we go to John chapter 10 and we hear Jesus being described or describing himself as the good shepherd. I think it would be easy for some to say, well, Psalm 23, that's God. The Lord is my shepherd. And in John 10, Jesus was talking about himself, but I'm not the Father and I'm not Jesus. But before we go too far down that road, how powerful that Peter in 1 Peter 5 would use the same sort of analogy to talk to elders in the context of a local church, right? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. And he outlines a variety of things that we need to be involved in, things that we need to stay away from if we are serving as shepherds in the Lord's church. And then in verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, nobody is saying, well, we should ignore the context of John chapter 10. Yes, Jesus is the chief shepherd, but by God's design, there are elders among his local churches, and those elders are called to shepherd the flock of God that is among them, which is why, using passages like Psalm 20, John 10, looking at the footprints of the shepherd is such a powerful principle.
You know, in this Peter passage, he also reminds us in verse 3, starts with the negative, then goes to the positive, nor yet as Lord and over those allowed to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. Here's a thought for you shepherds out there. What would you like every member of the church to be like? Are you doing that? What if every member was just like you? Would that be good or would that be a mess? And so it's not the guy who's back there commanding orders, do this, do that. It's not somebody just barking out Bible verses. It's someone who's in front of them. He's visible because to be an example, you have to be visible. Jesus talked about that city set on a hill. You cannot hide it. You can't be example if no one can see you. So he's visible. And he's setting forth what he wants others to do. I want others to be kind. I'm going to be kind. I want others to be open. I'm going to be open. I want others to be compassionate. I'm going to be compassionate. I want others to be forgiving. I'm going to be forgiving. I want them to be faithful to God. I'm faithful to God. I want them into God's word. I'm into God's word. And so how easy it is just to point your finger and say, go do this. But Peter's charge telling us, you be before them and you show them.
I know you and I are just incredibly thankful for the examples of the men that have risen to this challenge in our own church family and how consistently they have allowed the church to hear their voice, see their lead. They've had to make some tough calls going back to episode one in this series, right? And they have had to remain calm in the midst of some disturbing situations and circumstances all around us. But they're doing the work. And I think we have tried to end just about every episode so far in this series, encouraging the members of our own church family. Maybe you're not a member at Charlestown Road and you're just listening in, but this applies to you as well. Express appreciation for those men. Honor those men. This is not easy work in the middle of a very typical, ordinary year. But especially in an extraordinary year like this, this is not easy work. And so those men who are visible, who are hands-on, as you mentioned, Roger, so much more than paint colors and carpet tiles, but the lives and the well-being of people, honor those men, pray for those men, express appreciation for those men.
This may well be our valley of the shadow of death right now. We may be going through that right now. And the obvious question is, well, where's the shepherds? For us here, we know where they are. They're very visible. They're hands-on. They have offered comfort. They have offered support. They have gone above and beyond what so many would do. And they do this because they have the heart like the Lord, because they love us people so much.
We appreciate you joining us in this third episode of our series. Again, if you have missed any of the previous episodes, Shepherding During a Crisis, Know Well the Condition of Your Flock, those are freely available at charlestownroad.org. We've got two more episodes planned, two more Fridays in July. Lord willing, next Friday, we'll talk about the shepherd and sheep relationship in more practical detail. And then finally, we'll wrap this up, Lord willing, by talking about how sheep can help the shepherds. But Roger, I appreciate you joining me today. We thank all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope that it's helped you set your mind on things above. If you have appreciated this and you think that someone else would also appreciate it, please, please feel free to share it on social media, via email. Maybe this is exactly the sort of encouragement that someone in your own circle of influence, your own congregation, could use. We hope that it's helped you and provided a little more fuel for your journey. We encourage you, as always, to remember, when you're walking with Jesus, that chief shepherd, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.